Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Welcome to the show. It's brought to you along with Levi Solicitors, who will do you a 10% discount on your legal fees. LeviSolicitors.co.uk/the Square Ball. 15% on
wills
and
probate
and
conveyancing
till
the end of January.
Yes, absolutely. So get on board with that one if you are listening in. Around the time it was recorded, you've got about a week left to take advantage of the 15% discount. LeviSolicitors.co.uk/the Square Ball. Propaganda. Stuff what's been happening in the football world. Dan, Michael and Rob with you on this one. Should we start with a little guessing game?
Okay.
I'm going to play you a clip now from... I won't tell you the name because it might give away who they're talking about. See if you can guess who this is about, shall we?
I think he's out of his depth. I think a change needs to be made. Machiri was at the game today.
Any ideas yet?
I was going to say Jesse Marsh made the opening, but
I was going to say Jurgen Klopp.
I'll continue.
I hope he's in London because Lampard's bird's down there to say, look, don't bother getting on the fucking coach home because you're fucking sacked. You're sacked. Go back to Christine fucking Blinkley. Here's your fucking P45. I've had enough of this shit show. I'm sick of people saying to me, he's a nice man, and I've said it on here. He's a nice man. He's a shit manager. He's a shit manager. We've got 18 games left to fucking save Everton Football Club. Not save our season. Save Everton Football Club. A change needs to be made now.
Not prone to hyperbole there at all, but I think the clue was in it's Lampard.
Times are hard and friends are few. Ta-ra to fucking you.
I mean, it's the big news, isn't it? It's more impactful, I think, than what necessarily happened at Leeds over the weekend. But Frank Lampard got sacked.
I really hope that's how they told him. You're sacked.
Don't fucking get on the coach.
Off you go, Frank. And this thing about him being a nice man, I don't know, to me, he represents.
He
sort of represents everything that's wrong with this country in terms of entitlement and nepotism and privilege, all that kind of stuff.
All the coverage about it since he's been sacked has been like, oh, you know, like Everton fans really liked him because he was just so charismatic. And I keep reading it, thinking, are we on about the same person here? He's an awful bell end, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly the same.
That's what I mean. It's the nepotism. It's the client press, isn't it? His pals in the media.
But weirdly, but like he was saying, he said before that he's a nice man. I just don't get that from him. We've had nice men, but Brian McDermott was a nice man, I always felt.
Yep.
Maybe it didn't work out for him management-wise, but even when we were sacking him, I thought, well, he's a nice fellow, whatever. Neil Warnock, not a nice man. Frank Lampard, not a nice man. Milanich, who even knows? He never spoke. But, you know, I feel like you'd only get a slight handle for things. And how anyone has judged Frank Lampard to be a nice man, it's confusing. I don't know. I think he's one of these people, I think he's fine when things are going well for him. But as soon as people question him or things turn, he very much gets a face on and starts and will throw anyone he can under the bus.
I really enjoyed, it was the Athletic's piece this morning about Lampard. And there's about five sections explaining about what a horrible mess Everton as a football club is in and how Lampard couldn't have been expected to do anything. But then like the sixth section is like, I mean, obviously he's a useless manager. Like, you know, that's clear for everyone to see. But you know, the rest of it is crap as well.
Yeah, I think it was Match of the Day where they were saying, oh, well, he's not got any goals in that team. It's like, well, he spent a lot of money in summer, so why didn't he buy someone who could score?
There's a good line in Barney Rone's piece for The Guardian today.
Barney Rone's not having him, is he?
No, not at all. He's talking about how Lampard's bemoaned this lack of goal-scoring options since he's got there, and he's signed off the deals for Neil Mopey, Dele Alli, and Dwight McNeil. And Rone's line is like, if you had to pick three non-goal-scoring attackers from the Premier League, there you guys.
Yeah, he's had no money to spend, apparently, but Dwight McNeil was £20 million, I think. Mopey was 15.
And their fans hate McNeil, a lot.
Well, they did sell Richarlison, though. That is worth saying. So they funded it with that. But that's because they're right up against the FFP limits. And the reason for that is because they've bought a lot of shit in the past.
Yeah. And, you know, you sell a player for £50 million. If you're going to spend that money, there's scope within that to buy a goal scorer if you're not a complete fucking idiot.
Right. On Frank Lampard. No one likes to see it, do they? People losing their jobs. Oh, dear. Do you not care? I mean, it may genuinely impact our season if they get somebody good in.
Yeah, and that's a problem, isn't it? I was quite
new manager bouncing a few weeks.
I was hoping they'd stick with him, regardless. But
the hope is that they're such a mess. Whoever goes there is an idiot just for taking that job in the first place.
Mm. So, should we hear from him after they lost to West Ham before he got sacked?
Yeah.
Finished game with 68 possessions. So, as you standing there with the manager, seeing us so dominant with the ball. How do you get it into the players to turn that possession into creating more of a threat in the final third?
Well, they have to do that. It's not me divulging responsibility, but as a coach, a big part of your game is to work towards the final third and stay there and be there and then talk about what you want from the players. But those things are more instinctive at that end of the pitch, and we didn't have that today.
He doesn't mean divulging responsibility, does he?
That's not a thing.
That's the wrong word.
Yeah, you don't divulge responsibility.
He's trying to sound clever there with his paid-for education, isn't he?
I don't actually know what he's trying to say. He's trying to. He's mean. I'm not trying
divest,
to blame. I'm not trying to blame someone else. Is what he actually means. But divulging is different. That's obviously the setup's fine, but it's more instinctive at that end.
And yeah, there's nothing I can do once they get to that point.
It's reminiscent of Yapstam's Reading team when they came to Elland Road and had loads of possession, but all of it completely harmless, just tippy tapping it around at the back to the point where it wasn't our crowd olaying.
That was one of the strangest games I've ever seen, when we were 2-0 up and they're just knocking it around the back. It was brilliant.
Yeah, they appeared to be time wasted a couple of goals down. So
there's possession, and then there's useful possession, isn't there? So should we hear this other clip?
This is from his press conference ahead of the West Ham game, and you think he's got it.
Yeah, but then
wait for the kick.
Yeah, you'll understand.
I think the thing I learned, one of the earliest things I learned in professional football, and maybe my upbringing, to be fair, was that the minute you make excuses or blame or try and apportion blame to anything else other than your own input on what you can do to something, is the minute you foul, as far as I see it.
Yep. It's all fair enough, isn't it?
It's fair enough. He's taking a look at himself.
Yeah.
What can I do?
Yeah, presumably he's about to take responsibility now, isn't he?
I think he is, yes, definitely.
So if the first thing I'd say to the players would be to not look anywhere else but themselves.
So he's done it and he's told them, but they've not followed his instructions, have they?
Yeah. I think does he still think he's a player?
I don't know.
Or does he realise that as a manager you are responsible for more than just yourself?
Our friend Wayne sent me a text about Lampard, and he'd got it from a friend of his, so this is passed on, you know, down the chain and all the rest of it, saying that Lampard speaks like somebody who feels like he's got nothing left to learn. It's kind of the players who have to get up to his standard.
Yeah. He also speaks like someone who has had nothing to do with the way his own team is set up. Like, he'll come out and go, well, don't know why that's happened. But mind you, Marsh does some of the things.
Well, which leads us into Leeds, I guess, doesn't it? Should we hear first from Martin Keown, or should we go for the new Jive Bunny style mega mix? Which do you want?
One for the kids there. Yeah. We've been playing some Jive Bunny to Rob. He was up dancing. Yeah. He's loving it.
Yeah, it was
come
great.
On, everybody. Clap your hands. Do you want the Megamix first?
Let's go Megamix.
Okay, listen to the Megamix. Then this is the radio edit.
Disappointed with the result, as we didn't win, but really encouraged by the performance, particularly from the defence. It looks to me as though we've sorted out the back a bit with Verba and up front, because we've got plenty of attackers, but we need an extra midfielder. I agree with what your comments on the show, that we need an attacking midfielder who'll run through with the ball. Can't expect Adams and Rocker to do it all, and I think the other midfielders, like Aaronson, just aren't doing it at the moment.
There's been a lot of talk on the Phil Hay show, on the Match Ball, about performances turning slightly, a bit better in the last two games, which to a large extent I agree with. I think probably our best two games in a long time have been the last two games, but they've yielded 1 point from six against Aston Villa and Brentford, who are, however you look at them, mid-table teams at best. How long do we let this go on trudging along, even if things are starting to look better? Because the longer it goes on, the more trouble we're going to be in.
Our backline looks completely different with Vuber starting at center back. I hate to say it, Coop, but our best four started today, and I think we should keep going with it.
Well, that was better. I feel like we're moving in the right direction. Performances have certainly improved over the last three games, but it just never really feels like under Marsh that we're actually progressing anywhere. We're just fighting off relegation again. And if there's a better option out there, a better manager, if we can get a takeover sorted and bring them in, I think that's best all around. Vogel looks like an excellent signing. Looks like he's able to sort out the defence, hopefully. Got great attacking players. It feels like we should be doing better with the players that we've got now.
Thought we defended much better. Verber came in and did a nice job. But a combination of Brentford's tactics and the ref. My God. Terrible. But terrible for both teams. It wasn't biased either way. Just for me, had an absolute shocker. And I'm glad. Sounds like you boys enjoyed it, but bloody hell. I was like, it's bored out of my mind for most of it.
Well, it's an opinion, isn't it?
I think it's probably fair enough. I feel like games like that in the stadium with the tension around it, and it feels like it means more when you're actually watching it in a ground, I always think.
It was a really delicately balanced battle, wasn't it? I think Moscow described it quite well when we spoke about it on the match ball. It's been like a good meaty football match, wasn't it?
But if I turned that on and that was Brighton against Brentford, I'd have been like, fucking hell.
That was watching the game back yesterday. Because at halftime in the ground, I was a bit like, yeah, nothing's happened. But I'm not, like, it's not been terrible, but it's just nothing's really happened. And I thought the second half was all right. I'm watching it back yesterday. I was like, oh, maybe it's a bit better than I first gave it credit for. But at the same time, if I was a neutral, I would not keep watching this game.
But we're not neutral. We're in for a penny, in for a pound.
Yeah, exactly.
We've got to stick with it now, regardless. We should say thanks to Adrian, Billy, Gareth, Isaac, Matt and Nathan for the clips there, talking about Leeds. I think, that pretty much broadly sort of represents where we are, doesn't it? Some mixture between boredom and frustration and signs of improvement.
And kind of where most people are with Marsh as well, where you're like, I suppose it was all right. Like, it's not... We're just clinging on, aren't we, with him, it feels like. It feels like for ages he's been a bad result away from being sacked, but then he's got through a few of them and then managed to come off the back of them with some all right results. So it just keeps hanging on, doesn't it?
Mm. We've got a question from Gareth that we're going to do over on Propaganda Extra, some of the bonus bits, which is exactly to that effect. Why isn't Jesse getting more stick? In the meantime, though, should we hear from Martin Keown, who has taken a lot of stick, Martin Keown, from Leeds fans over the years. Do you remember that song that we sung against Arsenal? Keown is an ugly character in the stadium.
Yep.
That was a song that we sung, and he got a ball in the head, didn't he, from Michael Brown ahead of the FA Cup game.
Was it Mark Viduka that had him up by the throat in the tunnel at Highbury?
So a checkered past.
I'm pretty sure Alan Smith once really badly wound him up as well.
He did a lot of that with Keown and Adams when he first got into the team. It's like, you're the England captain, I don't really care though.
So are we applying the stopped clock theory to this then, what he's being said?
Well, have a listen
and see what you think. Yeah,
I don't see any game management. I don't see any control. I think the manager's got good characteristics, but when you don't win games, it's like codswallop, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's just Balani. We're just hearing, it's propaganda. It's like he's clinging on. They need to get results. And there's a wet message. All the interviews from the players was the same. There's momentum. We're building. We're moving in the right direction. Two wins in 16 games is not moving in the right direction. So the next two games are massive for them. I think the first one coming up is Forest. Got to start getting results and playing effective football. It's so frenetic and frantic. Calm down and play some football.
Calm down and play some football. It's propaganda. He knows.
Hey. He's confused. He's gone between Blarney and Bologna there, hasn't he? He's called it Balani, which isn't a thing.
That was on Match of the Day too, wasn't it? Was this Keown, I think.
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
He's right to say there's nothing Marsh can say, really. Well, we're not getting results. But at the same time, like, you work for Match of the Day, Marsh has to go speak to you after a game.
And contractually,
and he has to do however many broadcast interviews and press conferences. And it is like, if everyone just agreed, yeah, maybe no one should just talk to Jesse Marsh for a little while, then the world would probably be a better place. But likewise, Martin Keown can fuck off because he's part of that whole machine, isn't he?
Yeah, Keown can just fuck off. I don't care if he's right. I don't want to hear it from him. I want to hear it from someone who I like.
We've had a question from Fripp's Privilege, which is a great reference there. Is that acceptable in the 80s podcast?
It is, yes.
Yes. it's crept its way into recent episodes of this show, Michael, with you talking about what you want to bring back.
Odd bits, yeah.
Yeah.
Top flight time machine as well.
Yes, saying, can you ask Dan how he got a point even though he didn't score a goal against Brentford? which is reference to Sporting Intel Nick Harris, who has calculated the correlation between roughly goals scored will equate to points on the board by the end of the season. Key point there being by the end of the season. Mm. So if we are...
So it's going to be taken off us by the end of the season, is that point?
Is that how it works?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, bollocks.
But luckily, when we cash in the Spurs and the Fulham points, it's going to be great.
But we've scored 26, which suggests we should have more points. Then again, Leicester have scored 28. So there's a suggestion that we're probably underperforming.
A lot of the metrics suggest we are underperforming. I think that's maybe the other thing keeping Jesse in a job, is that there are factors and ways of looking at the stats to say that this is going to come good in the end. And our games we've still got to play, I think, because people will weight those in terms of winnable games and how many points you're likely to get. I think on that score, we're due to get more than several teams down there.
Wolves have scored 12 goals.
Boring bastards. They don't even want the ball in play, do they?
It's terrible, isn't it, that? That is terrible. It's genuinely starting to track, though, if you look at the table. I mean, I won't read them all out, but...
Thank you.
Southampton are bottom. They've scored 17, 15 points. Again, Everton above them, they've scored 15 points. So it's all starting to level out roughly. So it does suggest that we should start to climb the table if we can turn some of these draws into wins.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Boney M captures it quite nicely. He says, Leeds are finding new ways to piss me off now. Can we either be shit and lose so I can complain about it, or be good and win so I can have a stress-free weekend for once?
Is this not what being a Leeds fan is about being stuck in permanent purgatory?
I suppose it used to be.
What is it now?
Well, I don't know. I think we hoped we'd got beyond that, didn't we? For a little while. For a few years, it was not that.
It doesn't matter where you are, though, does it? It's always... The Premier League has a way of making everything fraught and horrible.
Yeah. And let's not pretend getting promoted from the Championship felt comfortable either.
That
was one of the most stressful periods of my life, was that.
Yeah.
6 weeks or whatever it was post-COVID.
It was absolutely dreadful, that, wasn't it?
So that was bad.
But the release at the end of it makes the tension worth it. It's just that the problem is the release at the end of this is, well, we get to go and do this all again for another season.
Yeah, the payoff's not necessarily worth it, is it?
Although it does feel like with the 49ers stuff on the brink now, that, you know, better things away. It's almost like the stakes have been raised a little bit, doesn't it? Which is a bit annoying. Mm. Like if it was this, another season of this next year, you go, oh, well, fair enough. But there's almost like there's almost a little carrot being dangled in front of us. Like things could be better next season, lads. Just stick with it. Just stay up. Should we hear from Brentford fans?
Yeah, go on. This is a new podcast that's not heard from before. Called Be Sotted.
Be
Sotted.
Okay.
Yeah. We talk about games of two halves. That wasn't even a game of two halves. That was a kind of game of sort of squish squash, kind of not much really happening, sort of in the right places, wasn't it?
I'd call it a game of no halves.
Fair enough.
One long, zero sum half.
Give him a squish squash.
Well, good on him for making the trip up then, isn't it? Must be hard work supporting such a boring football club like that.
It was kind of squish squash.
Yes. Yeah. We've got a little bit more of what is it?
Be Sotted.
On Prop Extra, if you want to go over to that one after this. But that wasn't particularly interesting, was it? Fair enough. Let's move on. Let's have some fun around the rest of the football world. Where else did we have fun this weekend then? So, Man United lost.
That was good.
That was good. We enjoyed that, particularly because there was a late VAR intervention. So should we enjoy this? This is the sound of, well, Rob, what are, just have a quick Google for this. What are the, is it seven stages of grief? If we could just.
There are seven stages of grief, yes. I think so. It starts with shock. This is what Google is telling me. Then it moves on to denial, and then anger and bargaining, depression, acceptance and hope. And finally, you finally process the grief.
Right. So we actually hear in this clip all seven stages of grief, which is great fun. So enjoy this. This is a Man United fan being sad.
They're checking the VAR here. Is there a potential offside? Come on, let's have a look at this. Where's the pass? The part, he's definitely offside, mate. Come on, yes, mate. He's gonna be offside. Yes, mate. Come on, get in. I fucking love a bit of VAR. Come on, let's have a look. Is he offside? Oh, he's not. I don't know where are they gonna put. He's not. Oh fuck, man. They've awarded it, guys. They fucking awarded it, mate. They were having a look at it. I thought there was a potential offside. They've given it. Fucking bullshit, man. Ah, oh, dudes. Which fucking freeze frame are they choosing it from, though? You know, like, they showed about six different fucking freeze frames of the fucking shot in the past. What, the one to choose the one that fucking looks the most onside, twats? Then Nketiah gets the flick in there. It's 3-2 to United. We've been fucking done by the VAR there, guys. What a stitch-up. The fucking stink show. Bollocks. 3-2 anyway. They're trying to find the right frame, I know. But 3-2. Band of merry melters there. Celebrating like they've already won the fucking league. Bunch of losers. But no, to be fair to them, they're looking good at the moment. They've completely done us at the end, mate. It's a smashing grab by them at the end.
All of them.
I think, yeah, the rest of his day must have been processing the grief, I think.
But I don't know how he was so confident it was offside. Because I saw that.
Yeah, you only see what you want to see, don't you?
Maybe so. Maybe so. Eddie Nketiah, though.
Yeah.
Lead legend.
He phoned in the goal, didn't he?
Scum fans never get the VAR calls, do they, either?
Oh, God, I know. Yeah, it's a shame for him, though. It's a shame it might have turned.
What can we do about this, though? That's the question. What can we do about this? Because it sounds like it's all falling apart over there because they conceded a late goal.
Yeah, and it's not the manager to blame. I mean, VAR partly to blame.
Yeah.
But he's got other ideas as Flying Pig United.
With Casemiro in that team, I fully believe we would have got a better result from that today. We might have only drawn, or who knows, we might have gone and won the game. That's the difference having the best central defensive midfielder in the world can make. And you're going from having the best defensive midfielder in the world in Casemiro to having some bloke called Scotty who's fucking bang average. So, there you go. We've asked for it. Hashtag Glazers out.
Get the green and gold scarves, everybody.
Also, within that same clip, he's acknowledged the Glazers have, within the last few months, bought the best defensive midfielder in the world. But
not enough. Get Ronaldo back.
But even so.
Idiots, honestly. Can we cope with more Manx?
Yeah. Well, he's not a Manx, is he, that guy?
No.
He's a Man United fan. I don't know where he's actually from. He's got... imagine being sat next to him in a pub while Man United are playing.
I was going to say, he reminds me of like a Chris Morris character or something.
Yeah. But these lads, City Extra... long-term favourites on this show, very much Manx, and it oozes out of every sound wave that you are about to hear. So this is when they went 2-0 down.
Was it last Monday? I think they played Spurs.
Yeah, so this is when it was all falling apart.
Yes,
don't shit the bed. Harry Kane saved. It's 2-0. I can't fucking believe it. It's 2-0 in 2 minutes. We've done it again. We've done it again.
We're fucking shit, mate.
We've fucking done it again.
This league is done. Don't talk about the league title anymore. Arsenal have won it. We are dead.
That's it. It's all over, lads.
Dead. Done. Man City, load of rubbish.
But that, you'll notice the tone there he had at half-time. He's given up, hasn't he?
Yeah, it's over.
And he knows it's over. He knows the team have given up. Handing it to Arsenal on a plate.
Don't bother coming back out for the second half, quite frankly.
But then, about an hour later, we get this.
We're not giving up this title without a fight. You see, there's a reason that we have a gold Premier League badge on our T-shirt, yeah? It's because we're winners and we won it.
We are
champions.
And
we're not giving up. We're not giving up without a fight. So, all you Arsenal fans, be prepared for a long-haul slog. It'll be mentally draining. It'll be mentally taxing day by day. You'll be looking at that table, you'll be looking at the fixtures, and it'll grind you down. And we'll be there, man. We'll be there until the end. We are not handing this trophy over to you without a fight. Believe me, man. Believe me.
But you did.
But you just said...
They should just give Arsenal the title now and say, no, Pat's in. Sorry, lad.
I mean, football does make everyone look stupid week to week because you go, oh, but yeah, we've just got no way of scoring goals. Then you'll go and win 6-0 or something. Or, you know, you'll write off a player and then they'll all of a sudden hit a good streak or something. So it does do this to you, but within 45 minutes.
I mean, could you imagine me?
It's a short time frame.
Sat next to those lads watching a game.
Oh, bless them. They're just
they're having fun, aren't they?
They sit next to each other in the bedroom, don't they? Do it. It's the format.
One Mank, Anthony Taylor, Stockport, is he? Anthony Taylor,
something like that.
Has been name checked by Richard Keys. Now, you'll remember, if you've been listening in recent weeks, we've been talking about Richard Keys and is vendetta too strong a word about Mikel Arteta's antics on the touchline?
Sorry, just spill a drink there. Thankfully, it's not gone over any equipment.
You've been threatening to do that for about 3 weeks, to be fair.
I have.
Do you want to get any absorbent materials to stop that creeping across the table, Michael? Or
the notepad will be fine, won't it?
Yeah, it'll be fine.
Great.
I'll go grab some in a second.
Good. And Richard Keys has tweeted about Anthony Taylor putting him in his place. I didn't even see this clip. I didn't even know Anthony Taylor had done this, but I know exactly who he's talking about.
Yeah, he's booked Mikel Arteta for getting carried away. The nice thing is as well, Richard Keys, you've almost got to respect him because every time he does this, he complains about anyone on Twitter. His replies are just full of people saying saying things about his daughter's friend.
Yes.
And his wife being ill and various things that went on around that time. But he does not get put off by it, doesn't Keyes? He's a great man. He loves the banter and he's willing to plough on through all of that. So
absolutely,
fair play to him.
Yeah. Right, Stevie Nicol. We couldn't finish this show without having some Stevie Nicol in here. We've got a photograph of him this week, haven't we?
We have. If you're on the video, we'll get Lee to edit this in there. He's got a nice dog.
It's the same breed as my dogs.
Which is?
Newfoundland.
Big, aren't they?
Very big, yes.
Steve looks like he's fallen over in this photo.
Do we know why he's had a fall, his hip's gone or something like that. Yeah, completely. Has he been out and about? This is what's concerning.
Yes, so to fully describe it, he's got a high-vis jacket on as Stevie as well. There's a full clip of this story on the ESPN YouTube. It's about 7 minutes, so it's worth actually finding the whole thing just because he's such a miracle of a man. I don't know how he was a good footballer. It's weird.
How's he made it through life?
Someone who's so physically incapable and bumbling. It seems weird that he was played for one of the best club sides of the era. But there he was. So yeah, he's been out. His wife's been away, and he's got lost.
Oh God, his wife. No one to look after him. No one to feed him. Good God.
My wife and I have a particular route that we go a walk in the woods. And the problem is that there are three trails in the woods, right? There's a yellow trail, an orange trail, and a blue trail. And my wife knows the trail better than I do. Now, unfortunately for me, she's away at the moment. And I decided that I would go up this trail because I'd convinced myself I remembered it.
Okay.
So after an hour, I had no idea where it was. And I'm thinking, what do you do? Do I keep walking, hoping that I stutter upon the exit? Or do I call the hero of the hour, Mr. Butley? Because because there's houses round all the way around the outside of the woods.
Okay.
And it's not far from where he lives.
Right.
So I figured what I'd do is I'd just go to the edge, and wherever the house was, I'd call him up and he'd come and pick me up and take me back to the car, me and Haggis.
Good God.
His dog's called Haggis as well.
Right, okay.
There are lots of questions, aren't there, from this?
Because, such as?
Well, the trails, he said the trails are coloured.
Yeah.
Mm.
So it'll be marked for him.
Yeah.
So even despite that, he's managed to get lost. It's clearly not the wilderness because he said the woods are surrounded by houses. He's clearly got a phone on him.
Which is going to have a map on it.
Which he's used to ring Craig Burley to come and give him a lift. So why not look? Yeah. So why not look at the map on it?
I just wanted to see the moment where he walks up to the start of the three trails and he's like, "Well, you can't expect me to make this decision. I need my wife."
I mean, in fairness, if this is the worst thing that happens while his wife's away, it's probably all right. I dread to think what he's eating. It's just crisps, isn't it? While his wife's away.
Yeah, and microwave meals.
Do you think he can use a microwave?
No, that's true. He's getting stuff out of the freezer and reheating it.
He's put something in the microwave for 45 minutes, a little ready meal.
And it's got foil on it. It started sparking. It caused the fire. Mind you, this him wandering off into the woods, you know, given how bleak it was when he fell into that pond that time.
You can completely see how the pond thing happened. Yeah. Right, you know?
You just wonder if he got into the woods and thought, might as well just take off my shoes and keep walking here.
Trying to ring Craig Burley as he's sinking.
I found some quicksand. Never mind.
But yeah, do look up the full clip on ESPN's YouTube because it's remarkable. There are several other little details there as well. He's clearly lived around this area for ages as well. Goes to these woods all the time and has still managed to get lost.
Never once paid attention to what he's done.
He's wearing a high visibility jacket so people can see him.
He goes on to explain the reason he was wearing that is because it's hunting season and he just want to get shot. But then he starts talking about people hunting with bows and arrows, and people, they're just laughing at him saying no one hunts with bows and arrows, and he's not having it. Like I said, the whole exchange is quite entertaining, so go and listen to it.
Maybe he's a time traveller from a medieval time, because he did his bread poultice, didn't he, the other week, trying to suck out the infection from his finger, and now he thinks people are going out with crossbows and bows and arrows and suits of armour and stuff. Wild. Oh, I love Stevie.
I reckon, given another few, well, I was going to say, would he have eaten the dog or would the dog have eaten him? The dog would have probably eaten him more likely, wouldn't it, if they'd have been stranded for any length of time.
Very soft breed. No, it would have licked him as he slowly just passed away.
He'd have allowed it to eat him, though.
Yeah.
Oh, massively.
Keep yourself alive, Haggis. I've had a good innings. I'm done here.
He's only been out for 2 hours.
Yeah. I might as well just lay down now.
I can't get through a Craig.
There you go. Propaganda done and dusted for this episode. We've got some bonus bits over on Propaganda Extra for TSB Plus members as well. Have a look on the website for those. If you want to, those episodes, if you want to have a listen or a watch as well, squareball.net/plus to sign up. And we will see you in a bit.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.